God, I pray that you will show us your truth, your path, your way, that our eyes may stay fixed on Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I lift my eyes to the hills. Jerry talked about this becoming a favorite verse, four stories up, looking out over mountains. But in fact, this phrase cuts two ways. Because in biblical times, hills and mountains ahead signaled danger. The hills were where the wild animals and the bandits lived. Hills ahead signaled danger, danger. I suppose it's where the bears slept in the caves. The traveler saw the hills ahead and wondered, where will my help come from to protect me from those dangers? I lift my eyes to the hills. Danger, danger, where will my help come from? In current usage, Psalm 121 has come to carry another more encouraging meaning, and that is of comfort and reassurance. Today, in our modern, more settled times, we see mountains as more inspiring than dangerous. And so the grandeur of the peaks speak to God's presence, and thus the text is offered as reassurance. I lift my eyes to the hills. Where will my help come from? My help comes from God, maker of heavens and earth, maker of the heavens and earth, and God, the maker of the mountains, God of majesty, God of awe. It is that God that becomes real to me as I see those mountains. And so where will my help come from? It will come from that God. And so oftentimes Psalm 21 is used as a text which sustains in a time of trial. I like thinking of both meanings as being true and especially appropriate today. There is no question but that the journey of life has challenges and dangers. What's the road in front of baby Ian? What will the next 10 years hold, the next 20, the next 50, the next 80? Ahead of human beings always lies the uncertainty of circumstance, but with, we claim, the assurance of God's presence. And I think those two realities, the dangers ahead and the awe of God's presence, especially suit our reality today in this worship service. Because our worship today has had celebrations, the naming of persons on a richly varied demographic. Baby Ian, whom we dedicated. The baptismal commitment to Jesus Christ of Matt, a teenager. We will have yet in a couple of weeks Carolyn's commitment by adult baptism as she enters the next retirement chapter of her life. And then we also look forward into the receiving into our fellowship, Art Headley and Carol Liu. Isn't that great? I will admit I'm disappointed that we couldn't have all of these at the same time. It's just such a timeline, such a demographic of circumstance. But all of these, as varied as they are in age, have one thing in common, which is a question. And we have in common this question as well. What kind of road lies before them? What kind of road lies before us? Where will help come from? For baby Ian, for Matt, for Carolyn, for Art, for all of us. I find it so interesting the way there are so many images of Jesus. For example, just before I got up, I looked at the sign, and there is the image of Christ as foundation. And so you have this building, this body. This morning we look at John 14, which is a text which invokes and involves journey, a different image. Jesus is the path. I am the way, Jesus says. And there are multiple nuanced meanings and implications in John and other places as well when we think of in terms of what Jesus claimed for himself, I am the way. There's Jesus the Savior, the new Adam, who by his death and resurrection opened for us a pathway, a way forward of forgiveness and salvation. This is the Jesus who said, road open, where previously it seemed as every way that you turned, there was a dead end, there was death, there was fear, there was the not knowing. And Jesus is the way. Enter by this doorway and you will be saved. A primary way in which Jesus Christ is understood, Jesus as Savior. Now, John also nuances our journey in another way. John 14 quotes Jesus, who prepared a place and will come back for us to walk with us to that place prepared for us. And that strikes me as so personal to each person. And so I go down the rows, and here is Jesus saying to each of us, I go and prepare a place for you. And the nature of the journey you're on is someday I will come back and I will take you with me to the place I prepared for you, so that where I am, there you may be also. When I think of Jesus in that way, I think of a Jesus in terms that are intimate and moving. It's like somebody takes your hand, says, here, I'll take you. Come with me. Remember that as a small child, what that was like, to have somebody take your hand? And Jesus says, I'm going to get everything ready. I'll come back now. I will take your hand, and I will take you with me to the place that I prepared. We may see mountains ahead, and we wonder what is to come in this world of ours in the years before us. From beyond the grave, Jesus himself returned and promised, I will carry you through whatever threatens, and you will arrive safely even after, and no matter what happens, even after death, no matter what happens to you, nothing will separate you from the love of God. I will take you to the place prepared for you beyond death. Yet another nuance. Thinking of Jesus as the way, as a path, thinking of ourselves on journey, is if we think of Jesus as our daily guide, not just the one who beyond death would take our hand. Sue and I plan to do a lot of hiking in the mountains. Years ago, I did an entire sermon about hiking, what it is like if one hikes on a new and complicated trail, and what a gift it is to have a guide along. What are the best guides? Best guide is one who respects our pace, and there's a certain grace in that. Just as I am, we sing. A confidence-building guide at times goes ahead and checks out the trail, and says, we're fine, we're not lost. Around that corner, I've been there. I know what it's like, and the word for that, we say theologically, is Emmanuel, God with us. The one who has lived on this earth, who has been incarnate, who knows about this path. The good guide is the one who is encouraging, you can do it. These are the testimonies of the ways that Jesus has encouraged us and puts up with us. If we wander down detours and dead ends, it's like shouting, hey, it's this way, it's over here, you're going off a cliff, come with me. And so I find that nuance to be meaningful in our lives. Jesus, the daily guide on our way. We can always find our way if we will follow that guide. And in yet a final shade of difference and nuance, there is Jesus, not just the guide, but the companion. Lo, I am with you always. And the two persons that came to my mind were the two on a road to Emmaus. They were grieving. They were discouraged. They were at loose ends. They didn't know what to do. Their heads were down. The mountain in front of them was uncertainty and grief. And then a third companion joined them, and together they had supper, and we are told their hearts burned within them. Their hearts burned within them. That companion was the resurrected Christ. And undoubtedly, there are times our prayer is as simple as, Lord, would you just be with me in my loss, in my uncertainty, in my pain, in my grief. Let me know that I am not alone. And the promise is true. Lo, I am with you always. Not just then, but now as companion. Jesus says, I am the way. I am with you on the way. I prepare a way. I lead the way. This is the nature of the journey that we have with our Lord and our Savior and our friend, Jesus Christ. And so our celebration this morning, in a focused way, is the celebration for all of us. We celebrate for a baby, a teenager, a retiree, it doesn't matter who we are. We celebrate the journey on the daily road of abundant and eternal life in which there is always hope. I trust that as the body of Christ, then, for the persons we named, received, committed to, that we might teach and embody what is needed for you on the journey. I trust, Matt, that that's what you're going to get from us, but we expect the same from you. And the summary comes then in the last verses of Psalm 121. Is this not the gospel? The hope we have? The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. To which I would add the words from Romans, nothing, not even death, will separate us from the love of God. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore. Praise God. Amen.